This activity is titled Exploring Therapeutic Advances for Bipolar Disorder with Mixed Features and Anxious Distress, an Update for Pharmacists. This activity is supported by an educational grant from Intracellular Therapies Incorporated. My name is Megan Maroney. I'm a clinical associate professor at the Ernest Mario School of Pharmacy at Rutgers University, the State University of New Jersey, and a clinical psychiatric pharmacist at Monmouth Medical Center, which is part of the RWJ Barnabas Health System. Introduction. The most recent estimates place bipolar disorder as the 28th overall leading cause of disability worldwide and the 12th leading cause of disability in those aged 15 to 24 years. Bipolar disorder is characterized by alternating episodes of depression and mania in bipolar 1 disorder, or hypomania in bipolar 2 disorder. During mania or hypomania, patients will present with an elevated or irritable mood, accompanied by an increase in energy and activity that is distinctly different from their typical behavior. An estimated 35% of people with bipolar disorder will present with mixed features, meaning they have symptoms of both mania slash hypomania and depression during the same acute mood episode. Clinical practice guidelines recommend the use of acute treatment to manage symptoms, as well as long-term maintenance treatment with pharmacotherapy to minimize the risk of symptom relapse and recurrence, although up to 50% of patients will not be fully adherent to their medication regimens. According to epidemiologic studies, an estimated 46 to 75% of patients with bipolar disorder have at least one comorbid anxiety disorder. Patients with mixed features and/or anxious distress are more likely to have negative outcomes, including poor treatment response. It is important for pharmacists to understand how to manage this complex condition, especially in the context of these common and debilitating symptoms. Overview and recent updates in bipolar disorder. Bipolar disorder affects an estimated 2.8% of adults and 2.9% of adolescents in the United States each year, with an estimated lifetime prevalence of 4.4%. Most cases of bipolar disorder can be broadly categorized into either bipolar 1 disorder, which is characterized by at least one lifetime episode of mania, with or without major depressive episodes, or bipolar 2 disorder, characterized by at least one lifetime episode of hypomania, plus at least one lifetime major depressive episode. Symptom onset usually begins in late adolescence or early adulthood, with an average age of onset of 25 years. Treatment of bipolar disorder involves management of acute mood symptoms, as well as maintenance therapy to manage residual symptoms and prevent future mood episodes. Patient preferences and safety/adverse effects, or AEs, should be considered when choosing treatment. A summary of current clinical practice guideline recommendations can be found in Table 1. Treatment of acute manic episodes typically consists of either monotherapy with a second-generation antipsychotic, or SGA, a mood stabilizer, such as lithium or divalproex, or a combination of a mood stabilizer plus SGA. Medications that may exacerbate manic symptoms, such as antidepressants or stimulants, should be discontinued during mania or hypomania. Medications that are recommended for bipolar depression include lithium, lamotrigine, and select SGAs. Maintenance treatment generally consists of continuing whichever medications were effective in the acute treatment phase, with several SGAs and mood stabilizers demonstrating efficacy in preventing relapse. However, lithium remains the gold standard. During the maintenance phase of treatment, the general goal is to taper medication to the lowest possible dose and employ monotherapy if possible. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence updated their recommendations regarding valproate and divalproex in December 2023. They recommend avoiding valproate in anyone younger than 55 years due to its teratogenic potential in pregnancy and negative impact on fertility in men. According to these guidelines, valproate should not be initiated unless two specialists independently evaluate the patient and document that there is no other effective or tolerated treatment or compelling reasons that the reproductive risks do not apply to the patient. They also recommend that if a woman of childbearing age is already taking valproate, that they be advised to gradually discontinue the medication under medical supervision due to the significant teratogenic risks. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, has issued warnings about the risks of using valproate during pregnancy and cautions against using it in women of childbearing age unless it is essential to treating a serious condition, but does not provide guidance on the use in young men. A recent meta-analysis of 101 randomized controlled trials with an N of 20,081 patients in bipolar depression confirmed that olanzapine plus fluoxetine, quetiapine, olanzapine monotherapy, lurasidone, lumateperone, cariprazine, and lamotrigine were more effective than placebo in managing acute depressive symptoms, with effect sizes ranging from 0.16 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.03 to 0.29 for lamotrigine to 0.41 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.19 to 0.64 for olanzapine and fluoxetine. In terms of adverse effects, antidepressants carry the highest risk of triggering a switch to mania. Olanzapine and olanzapine slash fluoxetine carried a significant risk of weight gain. Quetiapine had the highest risk for sedation, and cariprazine had significant risk for akathisia. The SGA iloperidone was recently approved by the FDA for acute management of manic or mixed episodes in bipolar 1 disorder, based on results from a phase 3 randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. In this study, a total of 414 participants with bipolar mania were randomized to 4 weeks of treatment with iloperidone, titrated to a dose of 12 milligrams twice daily, or 6 milligrams twice daily in cytochrome P450 2D6 pore metabolizers, or placebo. Patients treated with iloperidone saw statistically significantly greater improvement in the primary endpoint, change in mania symptoms as measured by the Young Mania Rating Scale, compared with placebo, with a least squares mean difference of -4.0 and a 95% confidence interval of -5.7 to -2.25, with an adjusted P of 0.00008. Significantly more patients saw a response in Young Mania Rating Score decrease of 50% or greater in the iloperidone group, 43.4%, than the placebo group, 33.5%, with an adjusted relative risk of 1.32 and a 95% confidence interval of 1.037 to 1.688, and a p-value of 0.0248. The most common adverse effects were tachycardia in 17.5%, dizziness in 11.2%, dry mouth in 9.2%, increased alanine aminotransferase in 7.3%, nasal congestion 6.3%, increased weight 5.8%, and somnolence 5.3%. Diagnostic specifiers are often used to clarify specific features of bipolar disorder and guide treatment. These include anxious distress, mixed features, and psychotic features, among others. While the course of symptoms in bipolar disorder is highly variable, a recent analysis of longitudinal data from a large cohort of patients with bipolar disorder indicated that the highest level of psychosocial disability occurs in patients with chronic mixed and depressive symptoms. Bipolar disorder with mixed features. Patients with mixed features of bipolar disorder present with a combination of depressive and manic symptoms during the same acute mood episode. The Canadian Network for Mood and Anxiety Treatments, or CANMAT, and International Society for Bipolar Disorders, ISBD, have published joint recommendations for the management of patients with mixed features. They provide specific recommendations for treatment of acute episodes, as well as maintenance treatment, although no treatments met their criteria for first-line level recommendation. Please see Figure 1. Most data come from post-hoc analyses of previously conducted randomized controlled trials. The, quote, mixed features specifier can be applied to the diagnosis of either hypomanic or manic or depressive episodes in which three or more non-overlapping symptoms from the opposite pole are present. See Figure 2. These symptoms might be present throughout the entire mood episode or may appear sporadically. Some experts believe that there is an increasing number of patients with bipolar disorder presenting with mixed features, possibly related to antidepressant use, drug and alcohol misuse, and obesity. The presence of mixed features is associated with poorer prognosis, including more frequent and severe mood episodes, increased risk for hospitalization, higher rates of psychiatric and medical comorbidities, poor response to treatment, and increased risk of suicidality. In fact, mixed features may be one of the strongest risk factors for suicidal behavior in patients with bipolar disorder. Therefore, detection and appropriate management of mixed features is critically important for patient prognosis. In mania with mixed features, the most common symptoms reported include anxiety, irritability, and agitation. In depression with mixed features, irritability, distractibility, flight of ideas, and agitation are most frequently reported. Agitation and irritability were associated with greater depressive symptom burden in patients with mania and hypomania in a large cohort of patients with bipolar disorder. Mixed features were also significantly more frequently reported in women than in men. To assess for the presence of mixed symptoms, various clinical rating scales, such as the Montgomery-Åsberg Depression Rating Scale, MADRS, and Young Mania Rating Scale may be used. The Clinically Useful Depression Outcome Scale in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders 5th Edition, or DSM-5, Mixed Feature Specifier, may be particularly useful in assessing mixed presentations. The Bipolar Depression Rating Scale also includes a mixed feature subscale. Some experts recommend screening for the, quote, four A's, anxiety, agitation, anger, irritability, and attentional disturbance or distractibility, as these symptoms are highly suggestive of mixed features. It is also important to determine if the patient's medications, such as an antidepressant or stimulant, may be precipitating mixed symptoms, so that they can be appropriately tapered or discontinued if necessary. Prior to the release of the DSM-5 in 2013, mixed states in bipolar disorder were defined more narrowly in the DSM-4 as, quote, mixed episodes, meaning the full symptom criteria for mania and the full symptom criteria for a major depressive episode within the same mood episode. Treatment recommendations in older clinical practice guidelines, such as the American Psychiatric Association guideline, are the same for mixed episodes as they are for acute manic episodes. Furthermore, clinical trials of medications for the management of mixed states have largely been confined to this older definition of mixed episodes, leaving experts to have to extrapolate findings from these studies to make treatment recommendations for patients with mania or hypomania with mixed features or depression with mixed features. There are currently no FDA-approved medications for bipolar disorder with mixed features, although several medications have been approved for, quote, mixed episodes based on the previous DSM-4 criteria. Please see Table 2. The World Federation of Societies of Biological Psychiatry has also published guidelines for the treatment of acute and long-term treatment of mixed states in bipolar disorder, although these have not been updated since 2017. Finally, an expert consensus panel published recommendations for the management of depression with mixed features, also in 2017. Let's pause here to consider this question. What are the benefits and disadvantages of using lithium in patients with mixed features? Management of mania with mixed features. Per the CANMAT/ISBD guidelines, for patients presenting with mania with mixed features, acenapine, cariprazine, divalproex, or aripiprazole may be considered in that order of preference. These are recommended based on level 3 evidence, meaning at least one randomized controlled trial or health system administrative data for efficacy in mania, plus clinical support for safety and tolerability. If these treatments are ineffective, ziprasidone, olanzapine, either monotherapy or in combination with lithium or divalproex, quetiapine, extended-release carbamazepine, or electroconvulsive therapy or ECT may be considered based on level 4 data, meaning uncontrolled trials, anecdotal reports, or expert opinion. However, Ziprasidone, olanzapine, and carbamazepine carry possible safety and tolerability concerns. There is insufficient evidence to recommend lithium, paliperidone, risperidone, and lurasidone, although they may be effective for symptoms of mania and/or depression without the presence of mixed features. First-generation antipsychotics, such as haloperidol, are not recommended due to their lack of efficacy in managing depressive symptoms and potential risk for inducing depression when used in mania. According to the World Federation Society of Bipolar guidelines, olanzapine, paliperidone, and aripiprazole have the best evidence for treatment of manic episodes with mixed features. Additionally, quetiapine was studied in patients with bipolar II disorder for the management of hypomania with mixed features. In this study, patients were continued on their current mood stabilization regimen and were randomized to receive either adjunct quetiapine or placebo. While overall mood symptoms and depressive symptoms improved, there was no significant reduction in symptoms of hypomania. Management of depression with mixed features. For depressive episodes with mixed features, cariprazine and lurasidone are recommended based on level 3 evidence, while olanzapine, either monotherapy or in combination with fluoxetine, quetiapine, divalproex, lamotrigine, ziprasidone, or ECT, may be considered if initial treatment is ineffective based on level 4 evidence. Again, safety and tolerability concerns need to be considered for olanzapine and ziprasidone in particular. Further research is needed to determine the efficacy of lithium, isonepine, aripiprazole, extended-release carbamazepine, and repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation for depression with mixed features. Isonepine, however, did demonstrate efficacy in a post-hoc analysis of data pooled from 2 placebo and olanzapine-controlled trials of patients with bipolar depression, meeting DSM-4 TR criteria for mixed episodes. Antidepressants are not recommended in patients with mixed features, neither as monotherapy nor adjunctive therapy, due to the potential for exacerbation of manic symptoms. The WFSBP guidelines recommend ziprasidone in combination with a mood stabilizer, carbamazepine, lurasidone, olanzapine, or ECT, although the level of evidence was weak for each. Expert consensus panel guidelines published in 2017 recommended monotherapy with either lurasidone, isonepine, quetiapine, immediate or extended release, aripiprazole, or ziprasidone as first-line treatment for depression with mixed features. Since the publication of these clinical practice guidelines, the SGA lumateperone was evaluated for the treatment of bipolar depression with mixed features in a post-hoc analysis of a phase 3 randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study. A total of 381 patients with bipolar 1 or 2 disorder were randomized to receive treatment with either lumateperone 42 mg daily or placebo for 6 weeks. Of the 376 patients in the modified intent-to-treat population, 41.5% had mixed features, 83 patients treated with placebo, and 73 patients treated with lumateperone. In patients with mixed features, there was a statistically significantly greater reduction in the least squares mean difference from baseline to day 43 in the primary outcome, the MADRS total score, in patients on lumateperone versus placebo. Least squared mean difference minus 4.4 with a 95% confidence interval of negative 7.26 to negative 1.52, an effect size of negative 0.52, and a p-value of less than 0.01. Statistically significant changes were also seen in key secondary outcomes, such as the Clinical Global Impression Scale Bipolar Severity Total Score, with the least squares mean difference of negative 0.7 and a p-value of less than 0.05, and the Quality of Life Enjoyment and Satisfaction Questionnaire short form, with a least squares mean difference of 5.9 and a p-value of less than 0.05. The most common adverse effects seen with lumateperone in patients with mixed features were somnolence and nausea, while headache and dizziness were most common in patients without mixed features. The first prospectively designed trial of lumateperone for bipolar depression with mixed features was also recently conducted. In this randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study, a total of 383 individuals with a major depressive episode with mixed features were treated with either lumateperone 42 milligrams or placebo once daily for 6 weeks. The study population included both patients with major depressive disorder and bipolar disorder, but only the results of the individuals with bipolar disorder will be discussed. The investigators reported a statistically and clinically significant difference in the primary endpoint, change in MADRS score from baseline to week 6, with a least squared mean difference of negative 5.7, Cohen's d effect size of 0.64, and p-value of less than 0.0001. There was also a statistically significant difference in the key secondary endpoint, change in the Clinical Global Impression Scale severity score, effect size of 0.61, and p-value of less than 0.0001. Lumateperone was reportedly well tolerated, with the most commonly reported, in greater than or equal to 5%, of adverse effects being somnolence, dizziness, and nausea. These results should be considered preliminary, as full details on the study design and findings have not been formally published to date. Maintenance treatment. Continuation of medications that were helpful in the acute episode is generally recommended for maintenance treatment of bipolar disorder with mixed features. The CANMAT ISBD guidelines also provide recommendations for maintenance treatment for patients who are not receiving or responding to current therapy. For patients with a recent manic episode with mixed features, azacitidine, cariprazine, divalproex, olanzapine, either monotherapy or in combination with the mood stabilizer, quetiapine, extended-release carbamazepine, ECT, and lithium can all be considered. For patients with a recent depressive episode with mixed features, cariprazine, lurasidone, olanzapine, quetiapine, divalproex, ECT, azacitidine, or lithium are recommended in that order. The WFSBP recommends quetiapine, lithium, or olanzapine, either as monotherapy or in combination, with valproate as a potentially effective agent. They comment that olanzapine has the overall best evidence in mixed states, however, it has significant long-term tolerability and safety concerns. Despite the apparent lack of clinical data for use in mixed episodes, some experts endorse particular consideration of lithium, given its efficacy in managing and preventing both mania and depression, as well as its anti-suicide potential. In fact, lithium is the only medication to demonstrate efficacy in preventing suicide in patients with mood disorders. Let's now look at a case example. A 24-year-old man with bipolar I disorder, who was hospitalized for an acute manic episode with mixed features 6 months ago, presents to the pharmacy for refills on his divalproex extended release, 1500 milligrams daily at bedtime, and aripiprazole 20 milligrams daily in the morning. He has been stable on these doses for the past several months. He asks if he will need to take both medications indefinitely, or if there is a way for him to be on less medication. How would you respond to this patient? The overall goal of maintenance treatment in bipolar disorder is to treat the patient using the least amount of medication possible that keeps them well. Typically, at least one of the medications that help stabilize a patient during the acute phase would be continued indefinitely, but tapering of medication down to monotherapy at the lowest effective dose may be considered after several months of stability. Clinical practice guidelines recommend divalproex as a possible treatment option for maintenance treatment after an acute manic episode with mixed features, while aripiprazole has insufficient evidence. Therefore, you may want to encourage this patient to discuss the possibility of tapering down off of aripiprazole with his provider now that he has been stable for several months. The patient should also be counseled regarding the potential effects of divalproex on fertility, and encouraged to discuss any concerns about this with his provider as well. Let's pause to consider this question. What is the role of antidepressants in patients with bipolar disorder with mixed features or anxious distress? Bipolar disorder with anxious distress. A significant portion of patients with bipolar disorder present with anxious symptoms concurrent with their mood symptoms. Patients meet criteria for the quote anxious distress specifier if they have at least two anxious symptoms during the majority of their mood episode. Please see Figure 3. Similar to the presence of mixed features, patients with anxious distress have poor outcomes, including greater symptom severity, more hospitalizations, higher levels of suicidality, poor response to treatment, and poor quality of life compared with patients with bipolar disorder without anxiety. A cross-sectional and longitudinal study of 244 individuals with bipolar disorder aged 17 to 26 years in the Longitudinal Investigation of Bipolar Spectrum Disorders Project found that 39.1% of patients had a history of at least one anxiety disorder, with many of those with anxiety, or 20.4%, meeting criteria for two diagnoses. Compared with those without anxiety, individuals in the anxiety group had a significantly higher risk of lifetime substance use disorder, with a chi-squared of 5.34, degrees of freedom of 1, and a p-value of 0.02, and higher depressive symptom scores as measured by the Beck Depression Inventory, T equals negative 2.23 with a p-value of 0.03. There are several theories on the frequent co-occurrence of anxiety and bipolar disorder. One is that bipolar disorder and anxiety are distinctly different conditions that occur together by chance. Another theory is that they are separate disorders with overlapping risk factors and pathophysiology. And a third theory is that anxiety is a precursor or prodrome to developing bipolar disorder. Management of mania with anxious distress. Patients with anxious features during a manic episode have greater severity of manic symptoms, a longer time to remission, and more adverse effects from medication. Unfortunately, there are no FDA-approved medications for bipolar disorder with anxious distress, and evidence-based guidelines are sparse. The CanMat ISBD 2018 Bipolar Disorder Guidelines note that there were no studies specifically designed to address the effectiveness of medications in managing symptoms of anxiety during an acute manic episode. They provide recommendations based on data from post-hoc analyses of clinical trials in mania, which include divalproex, quetiapine, olanzapine, and possibly carbamazepine. If antidepressants are being used to manage anxiety symptoms, clinicians should consider discontinuing them during acute manic episodes, as they may further exacerbate symptoms of mania. While selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs, and bupropion may have less risk from manic switch than serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors and tricyclic antidepressants, they should still be used cautiously and only when an anti-manic agent in patients with a history of mania. Clinical features associated with an increased risk for switch to mania with antidepressants include younger age, age 17 to 22 years, at onset of bipolar disorder, greater number of previous manic episodes, and a history of rapid cycling, severe mania, suicide attempts, amphetamine use, or previous treatment emergent switch with SSRIs, particularly fluoxetine, sertraline, or paroxetine, while patients in psychotherapy may have a decreased risk. Manage of depression with anxious distress. Anxiety symptoms associated with bipolar depression are linked with more persistent depressive symptoms and increased suicidal ideation. Unfortunately, there is limited evidence to base treatment recommendations on, and the few randomized controlled trials of SGAs conducted in patients with bipolar disorder and comorbid anxiety disorders have yielded negative results for anxious symptoms. The CanMat ISBD guidelines recommend the use of quetiapine, olanzapine, and fluoxetine, or lurasidone, based on secondary outcomes and post-hoc analyses of studies in bipolar depression. They also note that divalproex, risperidone, and lamotrigine have limited data for management of anxiety symptoms. There are currently no FDA-approved treatment options for bipolar depression with anxious distress. Recently, a post-hoc analysis of two phase 3 randomized double-blind placebo-controlled studies of patients treated with cariprazine for bipolar depression demonstrated efficacy for cariprazine 1.5 mg daily in patients with high levels of anxiety. In this analysis, data from a total of 952 patients were pooled, 529 with high anxiety levels, a Hamilton Anxiety Rating Scale or HAM-A score of 18 or greater, and 423 with lower levels of anxiety. In the high anxiety group, patients treated with 1.5 milligrams daily of cariprazine had a statistically significantly greater reduction in MADRS scores compared with placebo at week 6, with a least squared mean difference of -2.4 and a p-value of 0.02. Significantly greater rates of remission, a MADRS score, total score of less than or equal to 10, in 32.4% versus 21%, with a p-value of 0.0172 and number needed to treat of 9, and a statistically significantly greater reduction in HAM-A scores, with a least squared mean difference of -1.87 and a p-value of 0.0105. The 3 milligram daily dose was only statistically significantly superior to placebo in patients with lower anxiety symptoms at baseline. Tolerability of cariprazine was similar in anxious and non-anxious patients. Additionally, a post-hoc analysis of a clinical trial of patients receiving ketamine intravenous infusions in a series of 4 total infusions of 0.5 to 0.75 milligrams per kilogram each over 40 to 45 minutes for treatment-resistant depression, either bipolar depression or major depressive disorder, found a significant reduction in anxiety symptoms. In this study, the overall number of patients included was 209, with 45% of the population meeting the criteria for the anxious distress specifier. However, only 11 patients with a primary diagnosis of bipolar depression with anxious features were included. In the overall sample, patients meeting the anxious distress criteria had a significantly greater reduction in depressive symptoms as measured by the 16-item Quick Inventory of Depressive Symptomatology self-report scale compared with those without anxiety, with a p of 0 equal to 0.02. Anxiety symptoms, as measured by the 7-item Generalized Anxiety Disorder scale, decreased by the third ketamine infusion in both groups, with a significantly greater change seen in the anxious distress group, with a p equal to 0.02. Both anxious and low anxiety patients had a significant reduction in suicidal ideation, with a p-value less than 0.0001. Ketamine is associated with a risk of dissociative symptoms, which were seen in this study, but decreased from the first to the second infusion. However, dissociative symptoms increased again by the third and fourth infusions, when many patients had a dose increase from 0.5 milligrams per kilogram to 0.75 milligrams per kilogram. The authors suggest that patients with significant anxiety may be more vulnerable to ketamine's dissociative adverse effects. A formulation of ketamine is currently in development for the treatment of severe bipolar depression with recent suicidal ideation. Further studies with larger sample sizes are needed to determine the role of ketamine in bipolar depression with anxious distress. Management of comorbid bipolar disorder and anxiety disorders. A CANMAT task force has also published recommendations for managing comorbid anxiety disorders in patients with bipolar disorder. However, these recommendations are over 10 years old. The task force recommends the use of gabapentin or quetiapine as a first-choice medication in this patient population. Second-line options include divalproex, lamotrigine, serotonergic antidepressants, olanzapine, or olanzapine with fluoxetine. They recommend optimizing control of mood symptoms first before considering options for anxiety, and using caution with antidepressants due to the risk of switch to mania. Benzodiazepines may also be considered, but the risk of substance misuse should be considered. Risperidone and ziprasidone have not been found to be effective in the treatment of anxiety disorders in the context of comorbid bipolar disorder. Cognitive behavioral therapy, a standard of care for patients with anxiety disorders, was found to be effective in a study of patients with bipolar disorder and comorbid generalized anxiety disorder, both in reducing symptoms of anxiety and depression. Additional challenges and unmet needs in bipolar disorder. The clinical course of bipolar disorder is highly variable among individuals, but there is an increasing awareness of the progressive nature of the disease in terms of functional outcomes, making early and effective treatment critical. However, diagnosis of bipolar disorder may be delayed by as much as 10 to 15 years since symptom onset. A delay in appropriate treatment has been associated with poor long-term outcomes, such as self-harm and suicide, increased risk of substance misuse, interpersonal difficulties, and increased healthcare costs. In a recent analysis from the Health Outcomes and Patient Evaluations in Bipolar Disorder study, the median delay in diagnosis was 5 years in patients with bipolar I disorder and 11 years in bipolar II disorder. An earlier age at onset, history of suicide attempts, and comorbid anxiety disorders were associated with a longer delay in diagnosis. Race-related factors, including barriers to access to healthcare, can also contribute to the delay in diagnosis in some patients. Non-white patients with mood disorders also have less use of mental health care services, in part due to disparities in social determinants of health, but also due to discrimination, medical mistrust, and lack of clinicians' cultural competency. Patients with bipolar disorder of African ancestry are more likely to be misdiagnosed compared to those of non-African ancestry. Furthermore, several studies have found that the use of gold standard mood stabilizing medication, lithium, is lower in African American patients than European American patients, despite the finding from a clinical trial that African American patients may respond more favorably to lithium than those of European ancestry. Medication adherence is a significant challenge in bipolar disorder, with 40 to 50% of patients partially or completely non-adherent to their medication regimens. Medication non-adherence is associated with a longer time to symptom recovery, longer and more frequent hospitalizations, more frequent emergency department visits, greater risk for substance use disorders and suicide, and greater psychosocial impairment. Several factors have been associated with an increased risk of non-adherence to medications in individuals with bipolar disorder, including younger age, comorbid substance use disorder or anxiety disorder, poor illness insight, cognitive impairment, low education level, ethnic minority, poor therapeutic alliance, high intensity of delusional symptoms, low socioeconomic status, and adverse effects such as weight gain or cognitive effects. Prevention of potential adverse effects with pharmacologic treatment may be particularly important in the early stages of mental illness, as initial adverse experiences may negatively impact beliefs about medication and future treatment adherence and engagement in treatment. Stigma is also common in bipolar disorder and has been associated with complications regarding reduced community participation, self-esteem, and quality of life. Internalized stigma, also known as self-stigma, can be particularly harmful and may contribute to depressive symptoms, social withdrawal, and decreased medication adherence. Public stigma has a significant influence on self-stigma in patients with severe mental illness. Finally, the high incidence of cardiometabolic disease in individuals with bipolar disorder is an enduring challenge. Patients with a serious mental illness, or SMI, such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, are at an increased risk for dyslipidemia, smoking, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, and cardiovascular-related death. Furthermore, medications such as SGAs can contribute to cardiometabolic risk by promoting weight gain, insulin resistance, and impaired lipid metabolism. This risk, as well as disparities in care for patients with SMI, contributes to a reduction in the average lifespan of 10 to 15 years compared with the general population. Let's pause to consider this question. What treatment challenges in bipolar disorder can pharmacists best address? Role of the pharmacist. Pharmacists can play a key role in closing gaps in clinical care of patients with bipolar disorder. Community pharmacists, with or without specialization in psychiatric pharmacy, can provide mental health screening for depression and suicidality. Pharmacists and pharmacy technicians can pursue training in mental health first aid to develop skills in how to manage mental health crises. As forward-facing healthcare providers, pharmacists have tremendous potential to reach patients, and patients are typically comfortable discussing mental health needs with their community pharmacist. Clinical pharmacists have been successfully integrated into collaborative teams and primary care clinics to expand access to mental health care and improve clinical outcomes in individuals with mental illnesses. Pharmacists can work collaboratively with prescribers not only to ensure that appropriate evidence-based treatment options are being prescribed, but also that appropriate treatment monitoring is being performed. In this role, pharmacists can screen for and ensure appropriate management of commonly occurring psychiatric and medical comorbidities while minimizing the risk of drug interactions as well. A recently published retrospective cohort study of patients with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder found that patients enrolled in a telehealth collaborative care program managed by psychiatric clinical pharmacists had greater psychotropic medication adherence and glycemic screening compared with those in usual care. In another study of patients with an SMI, intervention by a clinical pharmacist significantly improved medication appropriateness for management of medical comorbidities. Pharmacists can also improve medication adherence by assessing patients' understanding and preferences about treatment, emphasizing the link between consistent medication use and lower risk of hospitalization and better functioning. Pharmacists can also reassure patients that treatment can be adjusted if bothersome adverse effects occur. An effective patient-clinician alliance in bipolar disorder has been associated with more favorable attitudes towards treatment, a greater acceptance of illness, and the ability to tolerate medication adverse effects, all of which may lead to improved adherence to treatment. Forming an effective treatment alliance with the patient has also been associated with increased patient satisfaction, positive treatment expectations, and reduced stigma. Finally, recommending and administering long-acting injectable or LAI medications may also help optimize adherence, although further research is needed on the impact of pharmacist administration of LAIs. The American Association of Psychiatric Pharmacists and American Pharmacists Association have both published resources to aid pharmacies in implementing administration of LAI medications into their practice. In conclusion, bipolar disorder is a complex and chronic illness requiring specialized treatment for management of acute mood episodes and prevention of future relapse. Many patients with bipolar disorder present with mixed features or anxious distress, which can complicate the clinical picture and result in poor response to treatment. Identification of these symptoms is key in appropriately treating patients with bipolar disorder. Pharmacists can play an important role in screening patients for symptoms, collaborating with other healthcare providers to ensure evidence-based treatment, and educating patients about their medications to promote optimal adherence and treatment outcomes. There are a few additional resources listed on pharmacytimes.org for more information on this topic. Thank you for listening.